This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I'm not going to talk about Surah Yusuf, but I did actually just want to mention to everyone, SubhanAllah, today we had a session with Sheikh Bilal Asad from Australia, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, reflecting in Quran 30 for 30. If you go to Juz 12 on Yaqeen's YouTube channel, he was actually reflecting on Surah Yusuf and the tragic death of his own son and his brother in a tragic accident. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on them and make it easy for their family and for all of those that have suffered these devastating losses. Allahumma ameen. So I highly want to recommend everyone to please take the time to watch that with your family, inshaAllah ta'ala. Really, the Sheikh was extremely vulnerable and open, and it's very clarifying, and it shows you what a personal connection with the Quran can look like in these times. What I wanted to talk about today was actually the basis of a question that you'll find in the early books that the Salaf would debate. And even if there's a minor opinion, the fact that it's even a discussion is something to be considered. Does backbiting break your fast? Does backbiting break your fast? And if it breaks your fast, does it break your fast spiritually, or do you actually have to make the day up? So I want to start actually from the scene of the Day of Judgment. The Prophet ﷺ told us that we will be asked about our deeds in categories. So the first deeds that you will be asked about are your salawat, your prayers. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the next thing you'll be asked about is your fasting, your siyam. Now I want you to think about a person who receives their book on that day. And let's say they fasted 20 years. So 20 years, approximately 30 days Ramadan. So we're talking about 600 days, if my math is correct. You're expecting for your book to say, all right, well, let's start from this place. The first thing that you expect is, that's going to come through is, how many days of Ramadan did you fast? Then we'll talk about different things. And imagine if you're standing there and you're expecting the book to come back, just like a person waiting for an exam result to come back. And it comes back and it says, you fasted for 22 days, your entire lifetime. And you think to yourself, there must be a mistake. Ya Allah, this only says 22 days. I fasted 2 decades, 3 decades, 4 decades. How does it only see 22 days in it? What happened, Ya Allah? This is the scenario that Al-Imam Ibrahim An-Nakhai rahimahullah ta'ala paints for us when we're thinking about the invalidation of the fast through particularly backbiting. Imagine it says, well, on this day, you forwarded a WhatsApp message and it was backbiting. On this day, you made this joke about this person. On this day, you got on social media and you commented with this. On this day, you were talking with your family and you made that sly comment about this brother or the sister. On this day this, on this day that, until there was nothing there. And the terrifying thing, and sometimes we actually need to think about the worst case scenario here, is this does not even occur yet at the mizan, where the Prophet ﷺ describes the muflis, the bankrupt person, who has to pay back the people for the crime. This is just the ajr of the fasting, the reward of the fasting gone. But the people that you backbited still have to come get their haq from you. They still have to come get their right from you. It's a frightening reality that will occur for many people. Many people will go to hellfire over their social media. Many people will go to hellfire over their chats. Many people will go to hellfire over their forwards. Many people will go to hellfire over their iftar conversations. It's a reality, and we ask Allah to protect us from that. Allahumma ameen. It's not a possibility, it's a reality for many, 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 many people. Now let's get to that question. Does it invalidate my fast? Like if I backbite in a day, do I stop fasting at that point and do I make it up? Most of the ulama, the vast majority of the ulama said, no, you still physically maintain your fast, but they're basing it on the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, مَنْ لَمْ يَدْعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ مِنْكُمْ, whoever amongst you does not give up. False speech, foolish speech, and argumentation, and acting upon those things, Allah has no need for them, no need for them to give up their food and their drink. So it's a spiritual element of the loss of reward. And there's something here, subhanAllah, to liken it to so that you can actually have a clear analogy to it. The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever drinks alcohol, لَن تُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ صَلَاةً أَرْبَعِينَ صَبَاحًا. Famous hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever drinks alcohol, Allah will not accept their prayer for 40 days. Whoever drinks alcohol, their salah is not accepted for 40 days. So do you just stop? You know, may Allah protect us from ever falling to that. But if a person falls and drinks alcohol, do they not pray for 40 days? No, they still have to pray, but the reward of those salawat is gone. So they still have to pray, but they will not have the reward of those 40 prayers realized. And so many of the ulama said, think of your fasting in the exact same way. That if a person transgresses with their speech, it's not like food and drink. You still have to fast when you come to the realization, if you even come to the realization. But on the Day of Judgment, a person would not find the reward for those things at all. And that's one way of visualizing it. There's, of course, another story from Uqba in Muslim Imam Ahmad, that some of the ulama, like Imam al-Albani, said there's a da'af, there's a weakness in the chain, but still the story holds great weight. And it's in Muslim Imam Ahmad, and it's there for a reason for us to ponder upon, that there were two women in the time of the Prophet ﷺ who complained about their stomachs hurting during a day of fasting. And the Prophet ﷺ told them to put two bowls in front of them, and they vomited what appeared to be like human flesh. And hence the example was given that these two women gave up what was halal, but they consumed what was haram. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. The ayah in Surah Al-Hujurat. Would one of you like to consume the dead flesh of their brother or their sister? You would hate that. But imagine if you actually felt it in your stomach every time you backbited. How different we would act in our lives if there was an immediate effect, an immediate impact. Now, in a day and age where the lines get blurred as to what's backbiting, and ghiba is what is true about a person. Ghiba is not even namima. And in our times, we live in times of deception, most of what we would think to be ghiba could actually be namima, which is slander, which is a much far, you know, worse sin in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ghiba is something that your brother or sister does not like to be said about them, and it is true. Dear brothers and sisters, I say this because I want us to recalibrate, inshallah ta'ala, what Allah wants us to do in this month. Most people who will be in the hellfire, Rasulullah ﷺ said, will be in the hellfire because of this. Most people will be in the hellfire because of their tongues. May Allah protect us. Hasa'id al-lisan. The harvests of the tongue. The things that they store in their tongue. And for us, as we sort of take a step back and say, well, in Ramadan, I'm asking Allah for forgiveness. And I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save me from the fire while its gates are shut. And to enter me into Jannah forever while its gates are open. Then we have to think about how we purify our tongues bi-idhnillahi ta'ala and not find ourselves in a situation where the reward of our fasting is gone because of these bad habits. And this is the best time for us to purify ourselves from this once and for all. If you come out of Ramadan, and if I come out of Ramadan, may Allah Azza wa Jalla allow us to come out of this month hypersensitive to backbiting from now on. Whether it's through here, or it's on the phone, or whatever it is, I'm not going to engage in this type of rhetoric, and this type of talk about a brother or a sister. Then bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, your fasting would have been successful in activating that taqwa, activating that God consciousness. Because you don't want to meet Allah Azza wa Jalla with all of this having been a pointless exercise for yourself. You want to meet Allah with your siyam intact, with your fasting intact. You don't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bankrupt. You want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in anticipation of a reward that you never even would have thought was possible for you, purely out of His mercy. So do not violate the sanctity of your brothers and sisters in this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, protect our tongues, protect our eyes, protect our ears, protect us from engaging in that which is displeasing to Him, protect us from engaging in that which can take the reward from these acts, which are meant to be acts of qurb, acts of closeness to Him. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khair. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.